Vegas Sports Girl, happy Tuesday. Hope your week is off to a great start, and I'm so excited about this hour. We don't have enough time to talk sports today, but first of all, let me introduce to you my co-host, in-house defensive tackle, formerly of the Seattle Seahawks, and more importantly, of the Raiders, Roy Hart is in-house.
Raiders,
buddy. Welcome back.
Thank you very much for inviting me back.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute since you've been here.
Yes, it's been a minute, but thanks very much for having me back, and I'm excited about this.
Well, we're excited because we were talking at the break, so I cannot wait to get into the meat and potatoes of what happened this past weekend. Anything special you've been up to? What's been taking all your time lately?
Just really study volunteering for a few different charities that I'm involved in, and just going back and forth and giving time.
I love that. One thing I can honestly say, those Raiders are already trying to make and they are making an imprint right here in this city, getting involved in the community, getting involved with charities. Talk to me about the Raiders this year. First and foremost, Josh Jacobs.
Yes.
Selected to the number two out of the top 25, number two best rookies of the year. Totally well-deserved. Would you agree?
Of course. Well-deserved. What a strong running year we have from Josh Jacobs. What an excellent pick, I would say. Just the type of running back that the silver and black needs. And, of course, it's going to be exciting to watch him do his thing in Allegiant Stadium.
Let's talk about Raiders here. That stadium is looking mighty fine. I'll tell you what, that glass is going up, and there's a shine. There's like a little glimmer to it.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to talk about their brick program that they're doing right now that will recognize the community, the foundation, ways that local Las Vegans can get involved with the brick program. And I'll go into more detail.
Okay. Talk
to me about Raider Nation and fans now here in Las Vegas. What are we to expect this year?
I'm going to say we're going to expect a really strong team. From the draft picks that we do have coming up, I think we have 9 and 19, draft picks coming up. And with the strong year that we did have, a lot of exciting things that we can pull from.
What do you think about the draft this year, which, by the way, is held right here in our great city, Las Vegas?
Didn't want to mention that, but of course it is.
Anyone that you or any position, in your opinion, as of today, that Raiders may need to look for or may need to consider filling for that team?
Well, being a defensive lineman, you can always and not ever have enough pass rush. We can definitely look for a good pass rusher in this year's draft. Wide receiver, of course, to help our man out. Throwing the football, Derek Carr, another good wide receiver, would definitely be exciting also. And just on the back end, you can never get enough guys to be able to cover those wide receivers, especially the way the defense is played these day and times. You can never have enough cornerbacks or defensive backs.
Yeah, I got to tell you, a lot of good players right now in those D lines. And if you're watching this on the podcast, you should see this guy, Roy. I don't want to mess with you. You know, I mean, man, I'd be scared of you if I was on that field. Let's talk about this past week. And we had some big games in both the NFL, and also a big game last night between LSU and Clemson, which we're going to get to a little bit later in the hour. Let's talk about Saturday. We had two big games that determined in those divisional rounds who would advance to the national or to the championship game this upcoming weekend. Let's talk about the San Francisco 49ers hosting Kirk Cousins and the Minnesota Vikings right at Levi Stadium. Now, let me just kind of remind listeners, Kirk Cousins is in his second year of a three-year, $84 million contract. Now, if I'm owner of the Vikings, this guy better produce, right? Would you not agree, Roy?
Of course.
He has been producing.
He's been producing. He had a really good year. But at times, of course, you can still see the struggle from what, of course, always been said and mentioned about Kirk Cousins. But he did have a really strong year for statistic-wise. And I always say, being a player, it's more than Kirk Cousins.
It is. It's definitely a team effort.
Definitely.
And they just came off of a win the week prior. They went down to New Orleans, down to the Bayou in the South, and beat Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints, which, by the way, that was a stunner to me as well, because my opinion, I thought the Saints would be possibly playing in this championship game this weekend. But Vikings win that game. They come to Levi Stadium this past weekend. Let's talk about the 49ers quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, on that first drive. He moved the ball down, scoring that first touchdown to wide receiver Kendrick Bourne.
Yes.
And then the Vikings quickly responded
with
a 41-yard touchdown bomb pass to Stephon Diggs.
Yes.
The score was 7-7. After that, it was all 49ers.
It was all 49ers.
It was.
Yes, it was. And I can tell you, the 49ers, of course, playing in their second round, having that bye week, and the Vikings having to go into New Orleans and play the Saints. Being a defensive lineman and being a lineman, I can tell you, from that second drive, you could see the wind come out of the lineman of the Vikings, offensively and defensively. And I could sense the 49ers lineman sense that. And from that point on, what a strong effort from the 49ers, offensive, defensive lineman. Really, really a strong game. It allowed everyone else to shine. And, of course, the 49ers did that.
They did. And let's talk about that 49ers D-line. They had three starting returners, which made a huge impact. They had Dee Ford, who was out for several weeks, making a huge impact. When he was in at the start of the year, that D-line was untouchable because he was sacking quarterbacks left and right. They got the return of Kawan Alexander, which made another huge impact. And he is just the energy of that team. And on the secondary, Jaquaski Tartt returned.
Fresh return from these guys.
So that was huge for the 49ers. Now, Jimmy did throw a pick that Vikings took advantage of, and Kyle Shanahan of the 49ers said, you know what, we're going to run this ball. Now, here's what's interesting, Roy. Kyle, before this game, told the team, we collectively have a team goal. We want to run that ball 30 times.
Yes.
Do you know how many times they ran that ball? 47 times compared to the Vikings 10. That's amazing.
Speak of offense and defensive line making the difference of that week off and the 49ers getting right on top of the Vikings. You could see it. I know I could. From being an ex-defensive lineman, I could see the tiredness of the offense and defensive line of the Vikings. That's what the week off makes a huge difference in.
It does. Now, the 49ers pulled ahead in the third quarter after Tevin Coleman scored on a 2-yard touchdown, making it a 24-10 game. Coleman finishing with 105 yards, just awesome at the run game this year. Deebo Samuel, another rookie, number 8th ranked out of the top 25 rookies this year.
Wow.
42 yards, a huge impact for that 49er offense. The Vikings, as you said, were deflated. They couldn't get anything going after that 10 points were put up. Kirk Cousins, 172 yards. He was 21 of 29 with a touchdown and an interception. He was picked off by 49ers cornerback
Richard Sherman.
Can we not count this guy out? And let me tell you, this guy needs to be respected.
Of course.
You hear it all the time.
Of course.
Is this guy going to retire? His legs are old. I mean, come on. Give this guy respect, right?
It shows you about the knowledge of the game. It requires more than just athletics. It requires also the knowledge. And Sherman, he possesses it. He knows where to be. He can run the routes almost for the receivers themselves.
He's definitely a smart player, I'll tell you.
Oh, no question.
Now, Cousins averaged just 5.9 yards per pass. Dalvin Cook of the Vikings. Now, this is a crazy stat.
Disappeared.
Held to 18 yards by the 49ers defense, and wide receiver Stephon Diggs, 2 receptions, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Vikings only had 7 first downs in this game.
We spoke earlier about the Packers coming to town. That defense is back to where it was the first of the year. They have everybody healthy, and of course they're hungry. So it's going to be an exciting game.
Well,
it really is.
I'm going to ask you later too about these picks for the Super Bowl, because we're going to compare apples and apples to oranges with the Packers and the Niners.
Okay.
49ers quarterback Jimmy G. Now, numbers not so impressive, 131 yards, but that's because they ran the ball. He controlled the ball. He protected the ball. He was 11 of 19 with a touchdown, 1 interception. The 49ers possessed the ball 38 minutes and 27 seconds out of the 60 minutes. 49ers win this 27-10. So next game, obviously the Green Bay Packers, which we'll get into more detail, will come to Levi Stadium this Sunday and take on the 49ers. The second game in that AFC game, a stunner in the AFC. Baltimore Ravens hosted the Tennessee Titans. I don't know. I saw this coming. I smelt it coming, Roy. I did. Ravens coming into this with a 14-2 record. Lamar Jackson, one of the most dynamic, if not the most dynamic player right now in the league, in my opinion. Ravens winning.
Put Patrick Mahomes in there also.
Yes, I agree.
It will be a battle between those two.
It is. Ravens coming in, winning the last 12 games, and obviously being the strong favorite in this game. Tennessee Titans, this was impressive. Coming into this, they beat the New England Patriots last weekend.
Yes.
Stunning the Baltimore crowd. My guy, Derrick Henry, for the Titans, 195 yards, 30 rushing. He also threw a 3-yard touchdown pass to Corey Davis. It was just kind of like a little lob, which, by the way, they scored on.
Way he could to make sure that they won that game.
Now, he had the most yards rushing through the first four postseason games. He came in with 366, and now he has 561, which, by the way, he surpassed Hall of Famer Terrell Davis and Arian Foster, who were tied at 515 yards. So Titans defense stopped Baltimore two times on 4th-and-1, intercepting Lamar two times, which you didn't see that happening. I didn't see that coming, by the way. And the Tennessee Titans scored all of their points off takeaways on 4th downs. And let's talk about quarterback Ryan Tannehill. Okay, we were just talking about this a few minutes ago.
Yes, he
was selected by the Titans to be the backup quarterback for Marcus Mariota. What are your thoughts on this? What's going through Marcus's head?
Watching him throw for just the team throw for 70 yards, I'm just wondering what is he thinking on the sidelines now, being the former Heisman Trophy winner, knowing that he could do the exact same thing or even better. What would be his thoughts? But I commend him for being on the sidelines and still being a team player, because he knows he's still only one play away, and that could be any single moment. But just his thoughts, it's got to be
tough.
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
And he's a true professional.
Yes.
What do you think went wrong for Marcus Mariota? What was that turning point?
I don't think anything went wrong. I think the head coach just wanted to see something different.
See something different.
And when he got something different and the team went on that 7-8-game winning streak and Tannehill was playing exceptional and throwing the ball exceptional, it's hard to go back. And now that with Derrick Henry running the ball the way they are and where they are right now, you leave the chemistry of the team to where it is.
What I love about Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans, their philosophy is very similar to the San Francisco 49ers. Mm-hmm. It's all team. Mm-hmm. It's not about me. No. We're the underdogs. And both of those teams, strong on the defense.
Yes.
And I think just well-rounded the way around.
Both head coaches that's been around the game, you know, played the game, you know, just from such a young age coming in, you know, Mike Vrabel, come on, he's been a winner so many different areas of his life. So therefore, you can push that and that just ooze onto your players. Just look how hard every single position is playing for the Tennessee Titans right now. Offensive, defensive line. Those guys are coming off the ball.
Very sound football.
They know Derrick Henry is going to run downhill. So when all of that is going, You just keep it going.
Henry's a big guy, too. He's got the speed.
I stood beside Derrick Henry one time, and he is a big man. Yes, he is.
How tall is he?
He's got to be 6'3". He's got to be 6'3", 235 pounds, 40 pounds running at you like that and with the speed he carries.
Wow.
Yeah,
impressive.
Like they say, you would be thinking about making a business decision at any time attacking Derrick Henry, but it's what you are paid out there to do.
Exactly.
So it's gonna be a good game this coming weekend.
Let's talk about Lamar Jackson of the Ravens. 31 of 59, mm-hmm. 365 yards, still impressive numbers. 20 carries, but you know they rested Lamar 3 weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had a bye week.
Yes.
What does that do? Does that work in your favor, or is that a hindrance to your team or your quarterback in this case?
It's hard to say. It could go either way. I think the biggest thing was Mark Ingram not being full speed so he could carry more of that running load And definitely, they wasn't expecting him to hand that ball off to Mark as much because they knew he was injured a little bit. So taking the time off, it can throw your timing off. It might have thrown Lamar's timing off a little bit, but I'm just going to say that in the playoffs, coach always say two things, travel. And that's defense and running game.
Deion Sanders says that, too.
And the Titans, they took their defense in there, and we know how strong their running game is. They have the leading rusher of the NFL this past year.
It's going to be interesting this weekend, too. Kansas City high, big offense, big offensive numbers, and you got Tennessee Titans.
Well, Mike Vrabel, he already know what he needs to do.
Absolutely.
If Patrick Mahomes is not on the field, he can't hurt you. So, therefore, you can get ready to get a big dose of downhill football, big boy football, for Mike Vrabel and the Tennessee Titans.
I love it.
This coming weekend.
Love it. Woo! So excited about that. Titans win this 28-12. They advance to the AFC Championship. They were the sixth seed to get to this point, so that's an impressive number.
Yes, it is.
And Ravens, for Ravens fans, they've lost three of their last four playoff games. So we'll see. I still think there's just such they're one of the best teams. I think it was.
Well,
just
you hear about the numbers that they have this coming year, the cap room that they have, every single offensive player still on the contract, and 7 to 8 draft picks.
They're going to be fine.
They're going to be just fine.
They're going to be just fine. Our Vegas Golden Knights, they're playing right now, I believe, against the Sabres, coming off of a tough loss this past weekend. They're going to play and take on the Senators this Thursday. Our boys need to get back on track. Have you been to a game?
I have not been to a game.
Oh, Roy, we need to get you out there. It is so fun.
Well, you know, I'm a little adverse to crowds these days. So
yeah, you're adverse to crowds?
Yeah, I tend to want to... You
chill
know,
out.
Just lay back and relax and be able to watch it. And if I want to, you know, just sling my arms or do something I want nobody else to see me do that, you know, in
you
private
can do
is
that.
The best way to do that.
You can do that. they dropped a little bit in the Pacific Division with placement. Sharks are taking on Coyotes, Kings, and Lightning tonight, and the Canucks versus the Jets. The Capitals sign Nicholas Backstrom to a 5-year extension worth $46 million. I could do a lot with $46 million, Roy.
What I wouldn't do to turn back 30 years.
Oh, my goodness, how things have changed, right? I know. And in that WNBA League Players, the League Players Union agree on a new collective bargaining agreement where players are to receive full salary while on maternity leave. So there you go. In Major
fantastic.
League Baseball, yeah, fantastic. In Major League Baseball, the Houston Astros fire their general manager, Jeff Lanau, and manager A.J. Hinch, both suspended for 1 year for their roles in the sign-stealing scandal, the team owner announced today. Jim Crane did.
I think the suspensions are way too light. They should be suspended for more years, and that will be a bigger deterrent. Cheating in the game, it just should not be. It must be played. Man to man, fair to fair.
I agree. I agree on that. Roy, it's such a pleasure having you in studio. How
Thank
fun.
You
We've
very
got
much.
A lot more football to talk about. Later in the hour, we have a former defensive end from LSU that's going to be joining in on with the show and talking about that Clemson LSU win last night. The LSU win was outstanding, you know.
So. Well, you know, being a Gamecock myself, University of South Carolina. Oh, just. It was exciting, is what I'm going to say.
And it's crazy. They played in that Saints Dome. We have a lot more news coming up after the break. You're tuning in to Vegas Sports Girl. To Vegas Sports Girl. And you know, we were a little delayed on that because there's so much passion in this studio because we're talking about games not being played fair.
Fair,
right?
Of course. Yes.
So
yes.
Yeah. If you watch it on the podcast, you'll get the full scoop.
Oh, yes.
And the full perception, right, Roy?
Oh, no question.
Of what our thoughts are.
No question.
Welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl. Roy Hart joining us in studio. Love the energy, my friend. Love the energy.
I love to bring it.
I love it. Love to bring it. So we talked a little bit about those games on Saturday this past weekend. Let's talk Sunday. Two major games. We've got Kansas City Chiefs hosting Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is interesting because, you know, at the beginning of the season, Chiefs came into this looking fantastic. They had a little ups and downs, and Mahomes was a little injured. But we know Patrick Mahomes, never count this guy out. Game on Sunday, it was 24-0 in the second quarter. Deshaun Watson and the Texans up on this one at Arrowhead Stadium. And frankly, when I was watching the game, I thought, what the heck is going on? Because the Travis Kelce was fumbling the ball. There were mistakes. And
I was watching the stands.
You're watching the stands. And they were just silent.
Some of the reactions in the stands was saying it all.
We can't count Patrick out, though. The Chiefs' focus, they started to score in bunches before the halftime. And check this out. They put up 28 points and took the lead just a couple minutes before that halftime, going in 28-20.
That football show bounced funny ways, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Wow.
This is the thing with this game. It didn't matter who's up, who's down, or who's at quarterback. You don't know what's going to happen. You've got to watch it to the last minute. And I can probably tell you this weekend, those four games are going to be those games that you're going to have to watch till the clock ticks out.
Yes.
You just never know.
Yes.
So the Chiefs' defense held the Texans and Deshaun to just one touchdown interception in the third, or actually one touchdown in the third quarter. And Chiefs come out to win this game 51-31. This is the first team in NFL history to score 50 points after being completely shut out in the first quarter. That was insane.
They scored 50 points and a half of football. Wow. Put on the Texans defense. You know, I would have never thought, but the ball did bounce a few funny ways to help them get to that 51 points. It wasn't all the Texans defense, but they pretty much put up 50 or more points.
And Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce just came out.
All kind of records.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
134 yards, 3 touchdowns. He commanded that second half. I've got to ask you just your opinion, because one of my favorite players in the NFL is tight end George Kittle for the 49ers. And now you've got Travis Kelce.
Yes.
Who would you rather have on your team? Travis or George?
Well, I put it like this. In today's system, they're running 2 and 3 tight ends. I'd take both of them. And I tell you what a team I would have. But if I had to choose, I would definitely take Travis Kelce.
You would.
Yes.
Travis Kelce was outstanding.
Yes.
But, you know, he's been in the league, too, a couple of years longer, in all fairness to George Kittle. But both really great, great players. That was a conversation I had a little bit earlier today. What a game.
Yes.
By the Kansas City Chiefs. Well-deserved. Congrats to head coach Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid is an amazing head coach.
Been in the league a long time, and I was speaking to some friends of mine earlier. You could almost see it. It's just his time.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the league when Kansas City was winning with Derek Thomas and those teams 12, 11, 13 games. Every year they would lose out in the playoffs, either the first or the second round. And you just feel for the Chiefs every now and then. Even though I'm a huge Raider fan, they're still in our division. So if we can't win it, I would love to see the team in our division win it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way it works.
I was just going to say, do you think Andy Reid has something to prove? You think this is his time? This is his year?
He has nothing to prove. I think it's just his time.
His time.
Yeah, it's just his time.
Well,
he's got the right mixture of incredible players.
Mm-hmm.
He's always had incredible players and able to bring the best out of them, but now he has the right mixture.
Well, Seattle Seahawks traveled to chilly Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers in that late game on Sundays. Packers looking good. They were up 7-0, holding the lead at halftime 21-3. And it's tough to hold quarterback Russell Wilson for the Seahawks to 3 points in the entire first half. The lead was cut to 28-10 midway through that third quarter, and Seattle started to rally and started to come back and put points up 28-24. But the Packers managed, and the defense managed, to hold that Seahawks offense hopefully so that they wouldn't come back.
Well, you know, it was a lot of questionable calls all weekend. But that's why they call it football, and that's why they say any given Saturday or Sunday. But this coming Sunday, I'm looking forward to it's going to be two exciting games, the NFC Championship and the AFC Championship.
It's going to be good. And I'll tell you what, those refs and those the league, they really need to study those.
Yes.
Study those guidelines.
Yes.
You know, because there's been, my opinion, there's been so many inconsistencies with those calls. Hopefully, there's no disappointments this year. You know, we never heard the end of that Seattle Rams call last year.
No.
We'll see.
It's every single game. It's some questionable calls by the refs and by some of the head coaches and the play callers.
Yep.
So when you get questionable calls all the way around, you just hope you played the game fairly, and whoever comes out on top, come out on top.
That's right. Preston Smith of Green Bay making a huge third down sack for Seattle. Packers managed to get two huge third down conversions in the end of the game to run the clock out by wide receivers Davante Adams and tight end Jimmy Graham, another big guy.
Why wouldn't they double team Davante Adams?
I have no idea.
That is a huge question.
He's going to be a threat with the 49ers this weekend.
Oh, yes.
He's prepared to go in and put some big numbers on.
Oh, yes, but the 49ers going to do the same thing to that bad man Aaron Rodgers.
You think?
Of course.
You think sacks will be
same thing as Mike Vrabel is going to do to the Kansas City Chiefs, to that bad man Patrick Mahomes. If you keep them off the field by running the football, they're no threat to you.
No threat.
They're only a threat to you when they're on the field.
But I have seen
one ran the ball how many times? How many times did the Titans run the football?
I know.
How many times did the 49ers run the football?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But I also look at, on the flip side, and I look at quarterbacks like an Aaron Rodgers or a Drew Brees or a Russell Wilson or a Lamar, what they can do when that pocket is collapsing, how they escape and still make plays. And they're on one foot and they're falling over. So, you know, we know anything can happen, I guess.
Anything can happen.
So, Packers held running back Marshawn Lynch to 26 yards on 12 carries. And Aaron Jones for the Packers, 21 carries, 62 yards. Another fantastic player for Green Bay. And we talked about Davante Adams, 8 receptions and 160 yards. Aaron Rodgers had 243 yards, 2 touchdowns, and was 16 of 27. And then on the flip side for the Seahawks, Russell Wilson, 277 yards, 21 of 31. Thoughts on Tyler Lockett for Seahawks? Isn't he fantastic?
Yes.
He's an awesome receiver.
He's just hard. He's one of those shifty guys, just hard to keep up with, hard to cover.
Fast.
You know, and of course, he knows pretty much where to go when Russell Wilson get in trouble.
Absolutely.
He's just him and Russell, when Russell is escaping the pocket, just seem like they just have some type of special connection where, boom, there's Tyler Lockett. And, I look for the Seahawks to have also a strong season this upcoming season also.
And they do. They've had such a strong team, and Pete Carroll somehow manages to keep them at
Russell
the top.
As long as Russell Wilson is up there, they're going
to
be in contention.
In that division, though, I think the quarterback in that NFC West to look out for is Arizona Cardinals' Kyler Murray. That guy is fast.
He's exciting.
Yes. So I think he's going to be the one to watch possibly next year and the
year
after.
But don't get me wrong.
That.
He's talented also. Very talented. Knows what he's doing. He's just going to need a few more years under his belt. But, yes, I can see Kyler Murray really lighting the league up.
Absolutely. Now, Packers will take on the San Francisco 49ers in the Bay Area Sunday. That is the late game. So we actually have a guest calling in after the break. Former defensive end from LSU. His son today plays for the New Orleans Saints. So can't wait to talk about that LSU-Clemson game last night. Roy, I'm so glad you're in-house. We've got a lot of sports to talk about. We've just touched and tipped the iceberg. We've got a lot more coming up. You're listening to Vegas Sports Girl. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl. Roy Hart is in the house. We were just talking about the diversity of players in the NFL being able to play both offense and defense.
Hybrids.
Don't you think a lot of coaches nowadays are looking for that as far as when they're drafting or scouting players because they want to have that diversity?
Yes. Also, what comes along with that diversity is a lot more athleticism comes along with that diversity. Mm-hmm. And that's what the coaches are looking for.
And your favorite defensive player, I had to ask you. You said?
Khalil Mack.
Khalil Mack.
Yes.
He's another guy. I don't want to get in his way.
No, of course not. Of course
not. Some good years with the Raiders, too.
But
so.
What I'm amazed of is just how big these guys are these days and how athletic they are. You know, we were all pretty big back even when I played. But today, man, they are just so much more athletic and so much more bigger at every position, including quarterback.
So if I were to ask you what has changed over the years, how has football evolved or changed from when you played to today, would you say it's size? Would you say it's speed? A little bit of both?
Combination of both athleticism and speed. And, of course, like I say, that hybrid player.
It's kind of interesting. It's kind of fun to see a punt returner get in there. And one of my favorite players that I enjoy watching on the New Orleans Saints is Taysom Hill. That guy can do everything. Punt returner, quarterback.
Exactly.
You know, is very, very creative, too, with the Saints and how they drum those plays up. Well, last night was a huge game in college, LSU and Clemson. LSU ranked number one. Clemson ranked number three going into this game. Now, the last time LSU has won a championship game was in 2008. And big game in the Dome in New Orleans last night. We have a special guest on the phone right now. Now, Tommy Clapp joins us. He was the former defensive end for LSU. He played in four bowls. He played in the Gator Bowl. He won a ring. Are you there, Tommy?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Well, I thought maybe you'd be hoarse after last night's game.
Well, I tell you what, it was pretty close to that. It was an outstanding evening for the LSU Tigers. I keep saying Tigers, but there were two sets of Tigers there. So great night for LSU for sure.
Talk about the vibe last night. Now, I went to a game at that dome where the 49ers traveled to take on and play the Saints. I don't know, and I've been in multiple domes and stadiums, but that place gets loud, and those fans rock. Was it that loud last night?
You know, at times it was. You know, it's interesting about when it's the Saints playing, that is a collective 70,000 that are all cheering at the right time, and the noise levels are really deafening on a third and long or a certain situation like that. Last night was loud, but remember, it was, you know, the intentions to sell 50-50 LSU-Clemson.
Right,
it was
right,
probably more 60-40, somewhere along that line. There was a lot of representation for Clemson in the Dome last night.
That's awesome. And just so that you know, Tommy, former Raider and Seattle Seahawks player Roy Hart is joining us here in studio. But let me ask
you
this.
How you doing, Tommy? Pleasure.
Let me ask you this, Tommy. What year you were a captain for the LSU Tigers? Talk about the bowl when you played, and can you tell us and share a little bit about that LSU philosophy?
You know, it was I had a great 4 years. A Southern boy down here, raised in New Orleans, Louisiana, was a dream of mine to play for LSU. And just like many state schools, kids grow up and having a dream to play at their state school. And, you know, that came true for me. And the opportunity to play for LSU, we had a great four-year run when I played five. I was redshirted. But my 4 years were one with Jerry Stovall, then we had three with the great Bill Arnsbarger, who was the mastermind of the Killer Bees defense of the Dolphins in the 70s, and then my last year was Mike Archer's first year, and that was a great span. It was we had a SEC championship, and we finished second three times, and it was back then you didn't have a divisional East and West, so you know we lost to teams that we didn't get to play, so it was a great stretch. And And certainly to cap off my senior year in the Gator Bowl, we won. It was a 10-win season for us, which back then, before divisional playoffs and all the formats we have now, to reach 10 wins was pretty significant. So it was a great way to cap a good college career.
Let's talk about that LSU quarterback, Joe Burrows, for a second. Last night he had 6 touchdowns, just a phenomenal, phenomenal season. He had over 60 passing touchdowns this season. Was he composed last night? I mean, do you see this guy? Talk about how he played, in your opinion. You were right there up close and personal.
you know, he played the same as he's played all year. And I think what probably, you know, really vaults him into my best player I've ever seen play is even the great ones have a off night. And I watched Joe Burrow for 15 weeks, and he never had an off night. The guy was cool as a cucumber, and, you know, I think he always possessed that talent. He was looking for the right opportunity. Ohio State, that quarterback room when he was there, was absolutely stacked. And Joe Burrow happened to fall through the cracks. I don't know how that happens, but, you know, I think God has a way of blessing the tortured. And for many years, LSU has been tortured and probably has had the talented football teams to win two or three or four more national championships. We just never had the quarterback play. And, boy, did we get it in spades this year. He was lights out from start to finish, Heisman Trophy. Everything is legit. And I'm very, very confident that Mr. Burrow is going to have an exceptional pro career, not just because of all the accolades and awards, but real football people have watched this guy move inside the pocket. It is a skill that not many have, and the ones that do are at the top of the game in the NFL.
Now, that game last night, 42-25, it went back and forth a little bit. Some good defense from both teams early in the game. Obviously, Clemson's quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, did a great job as well. Talk about, I always wanted to know, Coach O of LSU, is he always so animated and emotional and passionate? Do you see him in the community? I'm sure you do, right?
He is. He is. He's as genuine as they come, and I really believe that's part of his mystique, and that's what makes him so attractive to recruits and recruits' mothers and all the things that go along in helping build a program. But, you know, he is who he is, and certainly a man who has openly discussed the mistakes he made as a young head coach and how he's learned from that. I think he's owned it. If you ever had an opportunity to go back and pull the video of his initial press conference, there were many, many people inside the program, fan-wise, that kind of laughed and made fun of it. But if you took the time to listen to that, you would be amazed at almost every step that he's taken to this program. He discussed in that opening statement as head coach at LSU. So it's been a joy. The community obviously loves Ed Orgeron. More importantly, he's someone who I think has demonstrated, you know, you learn even the good and the bad. You learn from that, and I think he's applied that, and it certainly has benefited LSU tremendously.
And it's going to continue to benefit LSU when it comes to recruiting in that neck of the woods. I can tell you
Absolutely. Now,
being genuine, you can see it ooze from Coach Orgeron off the TV, and just the way that his players takes to him, and the way everybody's hugging on him, it's just LSU can look out for incredible things from the future.
Absolutely. Well, and I'm sure you all may have seen the news already today where the Whiz Kid, Joe Brady, our passing game coordinators, accepted the offensive coordinator's position for the Carolina Panthers.
Yep.
And I much respect for Joe Brady. I mean, just a tremendous job coming in. He was the final piece, right? And sometimes that's what it takes. It does come down to things like that. We wish Joe Brady the best. There's
a part of me
that feels he's got to strike while it's hot. I get it. I understand it's a business decision. But I also believe Joe Burrow made him pretty good too, right? It was a little give and take for both of those guys. So it'll be interesting to see how he does next year.
Tell me thoughts on the college coaches this year. A lot of eyeballs from the NFL franchises recruiting from the college coaches. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think it's the next wave. I think, the game for a while has gotten kind of stale. And, you know, with the addition of some of these young guys coming in and breathing a little bit of life into a stale product at times.
It makes a huge difference.
It does.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, it's the only way to break the mold. So I think,
and also the NFL itself doesn't want to get old. You got to stay up with your players, and bringing the college coaches in. A lot of these college coaches have coached a lot of the players that's in the league now, and of course they're able to relate to them on the college level, and it just makes it as much easier to relate to them on the pro level also. And so that's what they're doing. There's nothing wrong with it at all.
I agree, and I'm surprised Lincoln Riley has made it this far. I would have bet, you know, before Matt Rhule, I thought Lincoln Riley would have gotten an opportunity, but, you know, who knows? He might be waiting for the one that he feels is right, but, you know, it's an injection of good youth and certainly, you know, schemes. I'm looking forward to watching the NFL change a little bit. We thought we were going to see that with Lamar Jackson this year in Baltimore. You know, it kind of didn't happen, but look, you know, you can ask anybody in the NFL. You don't win 14 games by accident.
Absolutely.
So you do not.
It's a shame for those guys. It's a shame that they went out in the first round, but I guarantee you we're going to see more Lamar Jackson
in
Baltimore next year.
He's 22 years old. We're going to see a lot more Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, a lot more. That is right. That is right.
So, Tommy, I have to ask you. Now, your son, William, plays for the New Orleans Saints. You guys... such a fantastic franchise. You guys have had such a great run. A heartbreak, obviously, last week against those Minnesota Vikings at home. Does Will ever talk about what it's like working with Sean Payton and Drew Brees?
You know, he mentions it a little bit. You know, Drew is obviously, you know, someone who is held in such high esteem by the whole city. And it's great because when the Saints won the Super Bowl in 2009, My William was 9 years old, running down the street in his underwear, celebrating the victory. And here he was 10 years later, and he's blocking for Drew Brees. So it's been a dream for him, William, and has watched Drew develop as a New Orleans Saint. Certainly we all have. It's been a tremendous ride with Drew. Sean Payton, I believe, is one of the best play callers in the game.
I agree.
Obviously has struggled you know, the Saints organization, it's got snake bitten a couple of times of late. But, you know, at the end of the day, again, success over a long period of time, it's the most difficult thing to do. And I think Sean's got a great thing going in New Orleans. I'm one that hope Drew Brees plays forever. You know, I've always believed be careful what you wish for. And some people are like, well, it's time to move on from Drew Brees. And
that's what I was going to talk about also there. Yeah. Tyson Hill. Now, that young man has really done some exciting things. So where do you think they're going to end up? Drew Brees, he is, you know, getting up there in age and been in the league quite a few years. Will the Saints end up giving that talent up, kind of like the Patriots had to give up Jimmy Garoppolo?
You can only hold those guys back for so many years,
you know?
They're going to, I believe Sean's going to do it. When I watch Sean interact with Taysom Hill, I really believe that Sean sees maybe what Harbaugh saw in Lamar Jackson, a chance to change the game, sort of how you coach this quarterback position and what your expectations are from the position. But I can tell you that I anticipate them making every effort in the world to keep Taysom Hill. The interesting thing is, how is the market going to value Taysom Hill? Is he a quarterback? Is he a running back? Is he a receiver? How do you place a value on that? Somebody will, and you know that, and will the Saints be willing to match that?
Absolutely.
So, we were talking earlier about the league and how it has evolved, and the athlete itself, how it has evolved with the league and becoming one of those hybrid-type athletes that's sought after. What are your thoughts on that?
I believe it. I mean, you know, at the end, here's the thing that we've always watched in years past, where the running type of quarterback or the dual threat, we're going to start seeing a lot more RPO type of play calling in the NFL. You see a lot of it now. You just don't realize it. But at the end of the day, it's going to be the bigger, more mobile quarterback. We've always said no way that those guys can survive in the NFL long term. But you know, I remember Randall Cunningham had a pretty daggum good career. Michael Vick, before he derailed himself, had a pretty good career. Those were the first early glimpses of what we're seeing now.
Yes.
I believe 10 years from now, I believe the Taysom Hills, Lamar Jacksons are going to be the more standard quarterback in this league because the RPO is the most indefensible weapon that an offense can have.
No question, because you don't have that extra man in the box to take up for that.
That is correct.
That possibility
correct.
That he may run, the quarterback could run the football. So I definitely agree with you there.
Awesome. Tommy, I cannot thank you. We cannot thank you enough calling all the way from New Orleans and the South and that big LSU game last night.
Congratulations.
Congrats. And again,
thank you
so much to give us your insight and just the vibe. How exciting, right? The city's probably still partying because they never stop.
Absolutely, absolutely. Go Tigers, like Kojo said.
I got to say one thing. I played in a Gator Bowl also, and it was against LSU. It was back in 87.
87. That was my senior year.
University of South Carolina. You guys had a center by the name of Nacho Amagumbo, I think.
Yep.
Is that correct?
It is correct, and I was at the pregame with Nacho Albergamo, who's a doctor now, by the way, Dr. Joe Albergamo.
Wow.
But, very cool.
I did my pregame party with Dr. Joe Albergamo. So.
Well, when you went to talking and just the vibes come back and the name and everything, of course, trying to run it all back, I was on the field that exact game also for the University of South Carolina as the nose tackle.
That's awesome.
Roy Hart.
Black Death defense. I remember it well.
Oh, my gosh. What a small world.
What a small world. So
and
pleasure
Todd
talking
Ellis
to you
was your quarterback.
Todd Ellis, yes. Wow, what a small,
that's
tiny
crazy.
World, huh? That you were called in today.
Absolutely.
And I'm sitting here also. And 87, we were on the same field.
That's awesome.
Game. Yep, you guys did beat us. I had an awesome game, but they did beat us,
Hey, Tommy, we all need to convene for a cocktail at Commander's Palace and talk old stories, right? And Roy, you'll come.
Call me next time you're in town, and I'll be there.
All right, we will. Thank you so much again, and best of luck to Will, your son, moving forward. And thank you again for calling in.
Great. Thank
Have
you.
A great
Go
afternoon.
Tigers.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Pleasure.
Crazy.
Wow.
Who would have ever thought? That's awesome.
Wow.
That city is a party city, I can tell you that. Wow. Tommy Clapp, Will Clapp, great to get their insight on that game.
Yes.
I would have never guessed that, Roy. I'm still in kind of shock about that, you know? Anyway, we have a few little headlines we're going to touch base on. The Cleveland Browns introduced their new head coach today, Kevin Stefanski. He spent his last 14 seasons as the offensive coordinator with the Vikings. They announced him today. And a former Dallas coach, Jimmy Johnson, inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame this past weekend. Well
Bill
deserved.
Cowher, the Raiders.
Along with Bill Cowher, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Pittsburgh Steelers former coach, yes.
So that was kind
deserved.
Very emotional for Jimmy Johnson as well when they announced that on CBS Sports. So he did tear up. Dolphins expect to promote Josh Boyer to replace Patrick Graham as the defensive coordinator. And the Chicago Bears is hiring former Bengals offensive coordinator Bill Lazor as their next OC offensive coordinator. Matt Nagy will continue with the play calling. A lot of moving around, a lot of new hires. We've got the free agency, Jadeveon Clowney. We talked about all the free agents coming up, and we still got a couple big games going on. Here's another one. Former NFL player Chad Ochocinco Johnson had a tryout today with the XFL to be a kicker. Who would have ever thought that?
Wow.
Hey, I know.
If it's still your passion and you have the desire to get up and go do it, you know, age is just a number. He can still do it.
It is. Let's talk, before we have to close out this show, I want to talk about the big games this weekend. I want to get your perspective on them. We talked about Matt LaFleur, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Shanahan. This is an interesting duo. Two great teams going for the NFC championship. There's a lot of tie-ins with this. Now, Matt LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan worked together for 8 years. They worked together with the Texans, the Redskins, and the Atlanta Falcons.
Yes.
Now, this is what gets kind of crazy when you hear this. Mike LaFleur, which is Matt LaFleur, Green Bay's head coach's little brother, works for the 49ers on their coaching staff under Kyle Shanahan. Robert Saleh, the 49ers defensive coach, is best friends with the Green Bay head coach, Matt LaFleur. So Is this too close for comfort here? Or who has the
upper
edge?
No, the players still got to get on the field and play the game.
So, okay, let me ask you this as a former player. Mm-hmm. Does head coach Kyle Shanahan or Matt LaFleur, who Matt trained under, who has the upper hand in this game? Or is it not a coaching strategy at all? It's just about who shows up and who doesn't.
It's about who bring their big boy pants to the game that day when it comes to the players on the field. The coaches, of course, they call all the plays, try to put you in the right positions mm-hmm. to be able to make the right plays, but it's still who's going to have their big boy pants on.
And I'm anticipating that Green Bay is going to show up. They're going to be well prepared. This will not be the same game that we played with the 49ers earlier in the season. You still think the 49ers defense?
It's completely healthy. Did you see the way those guys was coming off the ball?
And so is that your pick? Is 49ers your pick?
49ers is my pick.
Let's talk AFC. Titans, Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City. Who are you picking?
I'm picking the Titans.
Is that because of defense?
It's because of their togetherness, their the will to be able to run that football downhill. And they know that they have Derrick Henry that will give it their all, and I can tell you now.
All right. Well, there you have it. Two big games on Sunday. Tune in noon and 3:40. Roy Hart joining us. Thank you. Come back again.
Yes,
you're listening to
you.
Vegas Sports Girl. Have a great afternoon.